Good morning, Denver, and welcome to Power Players. Thank you so much for joining us this morning on the radio. We have with us in studio Diane Van Dieren. Good morning.
Good morning, Ken.
How are you doing? And, well, I should let you answer the how you doing part first.
I'm doing just great. I'm doing good. Super. Thank you for having me this morning.
Oh, thanks for coming in. My friend also, Jess Stainbrook, is with us.
How are you doing? Hey, Kenny.
Jess has come with me because he's helping all you listeners out there that have kind of gotten our newsletters and have been logging into the website know that we are looking at doing some bigger media ventures here too. We're going to try and get into some TV and film, using all the different forms of media to share the gospel.
We want to turn Kenny's show into a video TV show that you'll be able to see. And same thing, man, the gospel, but you know, with all the folks that you get a chance to see what they're doing and what they're talking about.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So Jess is joining us, and Jess is joining us also because Jess and Diane, you guys know each other for quite some time, and Jess is the one who introduced us, and I wanted to get him in here too. And we're going to film this, and we're going to do some exciting stuff. So without further ado, Diane,
yes.
I want to talk to you because let's let the listeners know first that you are the 2006 Outdoor Woman Athlete of the Year, right?
Actually, I received a runner-up to Lance Armstrong for Outdoor Person of the Year.
Wow.
Yes, I did.
So there's another high-profile name out there, too. You're in good company.
I am in good company. Absolutely. He's raised my bar to run faster, farther, and longer.
Wow. And now let's talk about that. You mentioned that you run faster, farther, and longer, but right now you're a runner. You've been an accomplished athlete all your life almost. It sounds like in reading some of your stuff, you played professional tennis, junior college tennis championship that you won here in Colorado.
Yes, right? I was a state champion in tennis as a junior.
All-Metro basketball player, athlete of the year in the 70s. You've been around. You're familiar with sport and you're familiar with competition, but now you run.
I do. Actually, my job or what I do is I'm a professional ultra-distance runner. And people ask me, what is that? Well, ultra-distance running is, I do races basically of 50 miles or more. Hmm. But what I specialize in is races that are 100 miles or more. And when people say 100 miles, like you run on the road, you run on circles, you run on a track. All my racing is done on the trails. It's done in the mountains. I go all night, all day. I don't sleep. I run through streams. I run through snow. I run through hot days, cold days, whatever the environment, whatever the elements are. I run at altitude. That's how I compete on running 100-mile races.
Wow.
Yes.
I don't even know what else to say to that.
These guys are basically crazy, Kenny. That's
yeah.
What it boils down to.
That is nuts. You don't sleep, you said.
I don't. I've done some races, actually, where I've gone over 48 hours straight and don't sleep at all.
Wow.
Absolutely.
I just can't even imagine it. Go ahead, Jess.
It's different, too, because they they eat like gel packs. I mean, they'll eat baby food because they don't want their stomachs to take time to digest stuff. I mean, it's really, this is an art. And again, to do it at the level that Diane does it. I mean, she's humble in what she talks about. But, I mean, she's a North Face-sponsored athlete.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the level. And again, Lance Armstrong was the guy who won the male award. She's the female.
You know? Right.
Yes.
Well, you know, when you, how do you train for that? I guess you just run constantly, but I mean, you've got to prepare your body in a way that's different than a normal race.
Absolutely, and that is the key actually to ultra distance running. Can you come in the studio? You're here at the radio station. You do your job 6-8 hours a day. Well, what I do is I go run 6 or 8 hours a day, and so my training, my job is to go run the trails. And I'm so fortunate to live here in Colorado because I do a lot of my training at Pikes Peak. And I'll literally go down there in the morning, and I'll run up the mountain and down and up the mountain and down. And I'll run, well, for example, before I came here this morning, I ran 25 miles this morning. And so the key to ultra-distance running is I train on tired legs. But in order to do that and to take my body to that level, and I really need to make sure I keep my body nourished, both spiritually, both nutritionally, I mean, whatever that is, I need to keep the body in balance for what I put my body through.
Hmm. I can't even imagine. I mean, I'm almost at a loss for words, and that's hard for me to be at a loss for words. It's to think that I don't even know what to say. To think that you would go for 48 hours without sleeping and just continual running. And
you,
running
you know how you keep up with it, Kenny? You drive your car.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess that's what you would have to do. For me, I am sure I would have to drive the car. There's no question about it. I'd have a hard time running a few miles. Well, now you're training right now. In fact, you're probably pretty well trained for what you're about to do here shortly. And that's, you're going to run the Iditarod.
I am. People, when I tell them I'm going to be running the Iditarod Trail here in February, people think, oh, she's got 12 Huskies in front of her and she's going to be pulling the sled and mushing. And I kind of hesitate and I say, no, actually, I'm the dog. I'm going to be pulling a sled with 40 to 42 pounds of gear, food, water, clothing. It's the least supported race in the world. Hmm. And I'll be leaving, I believe it's 10 days before the dog mushers start. And my goal in this race, I say race, but it's more of an event, is to run 350 miles. And my goal is then after I finish, I'm raising money for Craig Hospital here in Denver.
Wow. Yeah, and that's, now Craig Hospital, let's talk about, we've got you here for a couple reasons. Obviously, our guests know that we're here because you love the Lord, and
yes,
He is the force that drives you. And we're going to talk more about that than anything else. But specifically with Craig Hospital, Craig Hospital had a big part of why you're still running.
Absolutely.
Let's talk about that.
Boy, 10 years ago, I had a part of my right temporal lobe removed for epilepsy, for seizures. And my last seizure was the night before my surgery. And so the good news is, here I am, I'm seizure-free, I'm off all medications, and I'm running the most enduring events in the world. But having seizures for 10 years prior to that, and then having a part of my brain removed, I went to Craig Hospital, and that is where they worked with me with my impairments, with that part of my brain missing, on how do I perform as a wife, as a mother, as an athlete, as a motivational speaker. So it was Craig Hospital that actually put me together so that I can perform at my best. And so I want to give back to them what they gave me.
Hmm. Now, and I do want to mention to our listeners here, there's a number we're going to give out, and we'll give it out a couple times through the broadcast for sure. But folks, Diane is running for the Craig Hospital. She's running for the Craig Foundation. You can call them to contribute, to help them out. There's probably lots of different ways that you can get involved there. You can call them at 303-789-8650. I want to make sure that you get that number, 303-789-8650. I will have that number linked up on our website as well, which is www.powerplayersradio.com. So again, www.powerplayersradio.com. Please log on, click onto our running link on that website, and you'll be able to get more information about Diane and about the Craig Foundation for sure. So let's go back and talk a little bit more about that. Now, you found out at 29 years old,
yes,
that you had epilepsy. It's something, yes, you had struggled with, but you didn't know what was going on. What led you up to that point? How did you find out?
Boy, Ken, it was quite a journey. When I was in high school, actually, I was a top tennis player here in the state of Colorado, actually in the western states. And I had a dream to be a professional tennis player. And so I left high school early, and I ended up playing the pro tour. And while I was on the tennis tour, I had these funny sensations. I had these funny feelings. And they were brief and they were quick, but I thought everybody had them. And I really had these sensations for years. And then when I'm pregnant with my third child, I'm 2 weeks into the pregnancy, boom, grand mal seizure. And that is where my seizures began. Hmm. And I had seizures literally for 10 years that were uncontrolled. And not knowing what it was that I had, what kind of medications to be on, I was trying to be a mom, a wife. And here, my role as a mom was reversed. When I had seizures, my kids had to take care of me. But I remember after going through numerous doctors, I finally got to a doctor that said, I did an MRI, and you could see the scarring on my brain. And he said, Diane, do you know what it is that you have? And I said, well, I have seizures. What does that mean? And he said, Diane, what you have is epilepsy.
Hmm.
And I remember at that time putting my hands into my face, and I was with my husband there at the hospital. And I remember my first thought was, I just thank the Lord for giving me a gift that I was allowed to travel the world, play tennis, and do more of what 99% of the world people had done. And I just had an incredible life. And so I thanked him for that gift. And then my next thought was, being a professional athlete, of course, we're taught and we're trained to win, to beat it, to fight. And I was going to fight this disorder, and I was going to beat this disorder and do all I could. And I did. And I did. And I give that glory to God.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Praise God for that.
Absolutely.
Now, you found your comfort in running.
Yes.
At that point, as you felt these seizures coming on, I had read at one point you decided, you knew it was coming, you're going to go run. And that was a way to avoid that.
I did. It was interesting. We live out in the country, and whenever I had a premonition a seizure was coming on, I always had my running shoes unlaced and untied by the front door. And I would throw those shoes on, and I'd take off to the Pikes National Forest. And that was my time where I would just pray, and I would just think, and I would just smell the smells, and I'd just listen to the birds. And I never had a seizure running.
Hmm.
And so, really, even though these races that I do are so extreme, but the mountains are my safe place. That was where I always went, was for comfort. And for my time of peace and my sharing with God. And even to this day, that is still my comfort. And but yes, that is what running did for me. It was just a way to release that fear that I had.
Sure. Now, did you know at some point during that, I mean, you say you're out there, you're praying, you're running. Did you know at some point God is telling you, Diane, don't worry, I got you. I got you. You're going to get through this. Everything's okay. Did you feel that?
You know, a lot of times when I race and I'm running through the night, I say the Lord's Prayer a lot. But, you know, fear not, for the Lord, the God is with you. And I remember when I ran my first 100-mile race, I remember the doctors, my family, everybody was nervous because here I'm running with no sleep and I'm putting my body through the most extreme intensity physical, you know, that one can imagine. And I remember as I went over that finish line, I remember thinking, all right, you know, I did it. I proved it to them. I didn't have a seizure. I had this incredible race. But, you know, there was a little part of me that was a little bit concerned also, of course, after having seizures for 10 years. And here I'm going to go run and not sleep. But I just kept saying to myself, fear not, for the Lord, the God is with you. And through him, all things are possible.
Right.
And so I always think about that through the nights, and that is my sense of peace, and just knowing that he's there behind me. His hand is guiding me. His hand is guiding me on these races.
Well, there's no question about that. I mean, I think even if you had never had the history or the epilepsy, there's no way anybody could run 100 miles without God. Now, it's whether or not people give him credit for that, but how do you run 100 miles? I mean, it's just crazy. Now, speaking of that, too, you ran this, what they call the Rocky Mountain Slam?
Yes.
Tell me about that.
Rocky Mountain Slam is the four hardest 100-mile races in the country, and I completed all of those and placed in all of those. So, yes, that was quite an accomplishment. Most people run one 100-mile race a year. That year I had run four, and I had run the four hardest. Now, last year I ran 500-mile races, winning two of the five and placing the other three. So, once again, my running just gives me – it's a tool. It's a gift that God has given me. He's given me – this incredible gift to run and to be an athlete, but I need to be able to take that to another level. And how can I use that gift as an athlete and to be able to talk about God and how he's worked in my life?
Yeah, well, and that's what you're doing.
That's what I'm doing.
You're going out, and now at this point you travel around the country?
I do.
Talk to plenty of people who don't have the ability to do what you're doing, and you use your legs to run for them and to speak for them. I'm trying to paraphrase what I've read into here,
sure.
But that's they all say the woman with talking legs, and that's one of the articles that I have here in front of me. And I'm going to start off on one note that I read in there, and that's that at one point you actually had said, you know what, I'm done with this, I'm done. And a young lady, a little girl, came up to you and asked you if you would run one for her. And I got to think that's what got you started on this.
You know, that did. After I ran my first 100-mile race, I went to the Epilepsy Foundation. They do a camp for children with epilepsy. And this was 7 days after running a 100-mile race. So I'm swollen. My body's tired. I'm beat up. My body's basically trashed out. And so I went up and I talked to these kids that have severe epilepsy. And I don't mean one or two seizures. I mean like 50 to 100 seizures a day. And I remember as I'm talking to these children, and this one gal, Mandy, after I spoke to them, was speaking to them, she came up to me and she said, Diane, she said, I have epilepsy and I have MS. She said, I can't run. But will you run your next race for me? And will you share with the world about epilepsy and that we're no different than anybody else? And would you be our words? And I remember driving home that night from Snow Mountain Ranch just crying and feeling so grateful for what I had just done through this race and not having a seizure. And then I thought, ah, that's what I need to do. I need to use this gift that God's given me. He's given me this ability as an athlete and these legs that can run. And I'll use it as an avenue to speak about how Christ has worked through my life. And so, Mandy, the children I work with, there's no doubt, they are a huge impact on me and how they motivate me. And I was fortunate, actually, 2 years ago, I was received the award as Female Trail Runner of the Year. And the day before that, a little boy that I was working with, his name was Hunter Nelson, and Hunter's 5 years old, and Hunter had severe epilepsy. And Garth Brooks was actually on his way out that day to pick him up on a private plane and take him to this hospital out in Iowa and to have him monitored and to see if he could be a brain surgery candidate like I was. And Hunter passed away that day. He never even got on the plane. And that morning, the mother, I'd spoken with her, and obviously very distraught. And when I was awarded Female Trail Runner of the Year that night up in Vail, I dedicated that award to Hunter because Hunter is in my heart, and he motivates me because children die of seizures. Adults die of seizures. But he left the drive and the passion in me to speak about what I've been through because nobody wants to talk about it, Ken. Epilepsy has a terrible stigma. I mean, 1 in 50 children have epilepsy. 1 in 100 adults have epilepsy. And 1 in 10 children will have a seizure of some type in their life. But nobody wants to talk about it. So I need to be able to use my gift that God's given me and use it as a tool to reach out and help others and to be able to speak about what it really is and how it affected me.
Hmm. Well, I'm sure that so many people probably put themselves in that category and they think, oh, it'll never happen to me. It never happened to anybody I know. It never happened to my kids. But those aren't very good odds.
They aren't. And really and truly, that is why I chose to have the surgery, to have that part of my brain removed, because I was having so many seizures. There was really a higher risk that I was going to die. Because even my husband didn't sleep for years. He had sleepless nights because if I were to have a seizure in bed, I could suffocate myself. Every time I went to go take a bath, I had to tell the children, what if I had a seizure? I could die. I could drown in the tub. And it happens more often than we like to talk about. But it does happen out there.
Well, and you've got a strong family behind you with your husband and your kids. I do want to mention one thing, and
yes.
I didn't ask you about this first, but I want to ask all our listeners to be praying. You've got a son who is in Camp Pendleton now. He's a Marine.
He is a Marine, yes.
And we're thankful for his service, undoubtedly, but we want to be praying for your family. That's a lot to deal with, no doubt. And we want to pray for his safety as well. So we'll continue to ask our listeners through our website and through all our communications to do that.
Thank you, Ken.
But back to your family. Your family had to be great support. Your kids had to grow up, and probably some pretty strong kids growing up in that environment.
You know, it's interesting. People would say to me, gosh, your kids are so independent. They're so mature. They're so, you know, I had all these wonderful compliments about my three children. But you know what? My kids had to grow up fast because they had to take care of mom.
Yeah.
My children had to take care of me. And they had a lot of responsibility because when mom was having a seizure and we live out in the country, you know, they had to know what to do and how to take care of me. So, yes, they. There was times, honestly, that I felt, I'm at a loss for words. I felt guilty what I had put my children through. But then on the other hand, I was talking to my children and I said, you know, actually they were given a gift because my kids have learned to appreciate life more. They've learned to see how you can overcome obstacles that we've endured. In the Bible, it talks about how we all endure trials in our life and how we need to endure those trials with joy. And I tried to tell the kids that as I was going through these years of seizures that there was a reason, there was a purpose. And they always supported me no matter what, always supported me, and they still do. But it was a huge impact on their lives, and it still is. It still is.
I'm sure.
Yes.
Well, and you had mentioned how they learned that you can overcome things and how. I mean, this isn't just overcoming something. You have taken this to a whole new level. Going back to the Iditarod.
Yes.
When does that start?
I'm going to be leaving February 21st, and I'm going to be doing this event actually with my teammate from North Face, Cammie Samick, and she's from Bend, Oregon. And she's raising money actually for a hospital up there for children who need prosthetics. And then I'll be doing it for Craig Hospital. And so she and I will take off February 24th. We're the only two women in the world that are attempting this, to do this by foot.
Wow.
We'll go figure that. So there won't be a lot of us at the starting line. But, 350 miles is a long ways to go, and we can be running at temperatures that reach up to minus 50. So it's very similar to a Mount Everest expedition,
right.
But I won't be at altitude. But the elements are just as extreme.
Yeah, and I logged on to their website today and looked at that Iditarod, and I was just kind of looking at the trail and looking at the, you know, what you're going to be going through. And then,
right.
And also I want to say, Jesse, you're going to be filming this, right? I mean, is this what we're getting into?
Well, our hope is to do the video side, is, you know, to follow Diane on her trip and turn that into a documentary that, again, the world gets to see and experience what Diane experiences in some small form, you know.
And maybe a little bit about what you might, do you think you might be a little shocked there having to run this race a little bit?
I've done a few ultra marathons, not because I wanted to, but because we've been covering them. And it'll be interesting. I'm sure that I'm going to have to train a little bit too to get ready for just following her, you know,
because sure.
we're bringing a lot of gear. But again, when you look at the big picture, as somebody like Diane using her legs to talk and to get the word out there about what Christ is doing in her life, I mean, we're doing the same thing with video. And so it's important to us to kind of partner on this and move forward with it.
Absolutely. And again, I want to encourage all of our listeners. I always try and get something in here about what we're doing. Here we are, you know, we all come from different genres. We, you know, you're a runner. I'm a short, fat guy with a microphone. You know, Jess is a...
I'm a guy with a camera.
Yeah, very gifted, very gifted. Patrick, who's in here, and most people haven't heard from yet, but we can all use the platform God's given us. It doesn't matter where you are.
Absolutely.
It's utilizing the whatever you've got for talent,
yes.
For his glory. And it's amazing how many people that can touch.
Well, and I have to say, Ken, really and truly, with me being here on the radio station this morning, and Jess, and it's the media. It's you guys have given me a voice. I cannot do this if I didn't have a voice and had media to back me up. So I wanted to thank you. I want to thank Jess. Jess was the first one who took my story a couple years ago and did a documentary on me. And praise God, because like I said, the Lord has just given me this phenomenal support. I can't tell you the support I feel going into this race. But once again, it's just a gift that he's given me. And,
well, and he's opened up some other doors for you, too. I mean, talk about the Today Show. Talk about, I mean, you know, when you talk about national exposure, she's got it.
Absolutely.
Yes. I was very honored to be when the Today Show called and honored me as Extraordinary Mom. And we did a story in May right before Mother's Day. And the neat thing about that was the story was told through my children's eyes. Hmm. I mean, is that a gift? I mean, that is something, it was told through my children's eyes. And even though it's a wow, you know, gosh, Diane was on national TV, she was on the Today Show, she was, you know, it's not about me. It's not about me. I want it, once again, it's how God's worked through my life. I mean, this glory is given to God. There is no, I was told by numerous doctors, you cannot beat epilepsy. You will never be able to run. You will never be able to drive. You will never, I mean, I was told never, never, never. And I never gave up hope. And I always prayed and knew that there was a purpose and reason. And here I am. And so I know that God is using that as a gift. But yeah, once again, thanks to you guys, because I sure couldn't do what I do if I stayed home and didn't use my gift.
Well, thank you. I mean, we wouldn't have a program without guests like you, too. And again, I want to mention to the listeners, very important that you go and call Craig Foundation, 303-789-8650. Diane is running for Craig Hospital,
yes.
Who is, you know, in probably large part the reason that she's still able to do this. So again, 303-789-8650, not taking away, of course, that the largest part is that Christ has given you that opportunity. Again, you can log on to my website, www.powerplayersradio.com. There'll be contact information there for me, for Diane, and hopefully maybe we'll find a way to monitor your progress or something through that race. That would be awesome.
I was thinking about, boy, wouldn't it be cool if we could set up kind of a prayer study and a daily prayer thing that she's checking in and we're sending stuff back. And, you know, it'd be interesting. I don't know if we can pull it off. But
well, that would be great. Just all the prayers will be needed for safety, for just for guidance. I don't want to say being fast, but that really in some ways isn't as important. But the sooner I get the 350 under my belt, the better. But really just for us to be safe and just to be guided by God's glory. And once again, I just thank you for the opportunity to speak to the listeners. And, you know, I'm just really asking if Denver can back me up on this and ask for their support with Craig, because as an athlete, I want to be able to give back what they had given me. And so thank you so much, Ken.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think it's awesome what you're doing for sure. And let me also mention, too, that you do, again, we had just briefly touched on the fact that you travel around the country talking to people about what you do and why you do it. But tell me just a little bit more about that before we get out of here on this.
Sure. Actually, I am a motivational speaker also, and I speak to all different types of groups. I speak to elementaries. I speak to high schools. I speak at conferences. Benefit dinners, whatever that is. But I love that because it gives me a time to use my creativity and to use my story to work it into the programs that I'm working with. But Ken, I really love working with kids and talking to children, because what I talk to them about is I ask the kids, you know, I think in this day and world, all kids think they all have to be alike. They all dress alike, and all the pressures that are put on the women on how we have to look. And when I talk with the kids at the schools, I love talking to each of them and saying, you know, find your gift. I dare you kids to be different than the other person. You know, I want you to be different. I'm different. I'm 46 years old. I don't want to be like everybody else, but I found a gift that God has given me. And when I speak to kids, I ask them to find their gift, no matter what that is, whether it be athletics, whether it be arts and crafts, whether it be their academics, I mean, music. Find that gift that God has given them and then take that to the potential, to the farthest potential that you can use that. And so I really enjoy that opportunity with kids and then with adults, and just any way I can get my word out, how we all have obstacles. It's not if. It's not if we encounter an obstacle in our lives. We all will encounter some trial, some obstacle in our lives, and how are we going to deal with that? And so that gives me an opportunity to speak about what I've been through.
Sure.
And
I wanted to bring that up because you had given me the okay to give out your email address. Sure. Now, it's a long email address, so I'm going to mention it here. But I just, again, I'll have this information up on my website so people can get a hold of it. But if they want to get in touch with you and they would like to talk to you about motivational speaking, about whatever it is, they want to ask you questions, they want encouragement, whatever it might be.
Sure.
The email is dianev1@hometownaccess.net. dianev1@hometownaccess.net. Again, log on to powerplayersradio.com and you'll be able to get all the information on Diane as well. And coming to a close here, Diane, I want to thank you. Really appreciate you being on the program. We all appreciate what you're doing for God's kingdom, which is just the most important thing we can do. And I'll give you the mic, just any closing words that you would have for the listeners out there, some encouragement for them.
Boy, I would just say, that if you're in the midst of a trial, if you're in the midst of something that is just really heavy on your heart, to maybe when you're in the midst of it, you don't know the reasoning, you don't know why, and just to allow that patience, allow God to work with you, know that there's a reason, there's a purpose, and once again, all of us will encounter trials in our life, and we are to encounter those with joy. And, you know, when I was having seizures, I'm going, joy, happiness. I'm sitting here with, you know, half my tongue bit off and I'm bleeding all over. Joy, happiness, they really don't go together. But you know what? I found that out eventually. There is a reason. There is a purpose. And just to be patient with that and to pray for that and just have that peace in your heart and fear not for that. You do know that the Lord, the God, is with you.
Amen to that.
Amen.
Thanks so much, Diane.
You bet. Thank you for having me on, Ken and Jess. I hope to see you out there with your camera and shooting away. All right? I'll buy you dinner.
Thanks, Jess. God bless you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.